You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for Archer. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Archer news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for Archer.
Yo, what's up?
What's up?
How's it going, Internet?
How you feeling out there in listener land? Are you feeling good? Did you watch tonight's episode of Archer, which was titled The Limited?
Hopefully, because...
Because you're listening to this stuff. You're listening to us jag-offs talk about it.
I mean, this is the next best thing.
Yeah, I guess if you don't watch Archer, you might as well listen to us, because you will hear our voices and picture our handsome faces.
Yes, and they certainly are handsome. Speaking of handsome faces, let's put some names to those handsome faces. I'm Greg Goodness.
I am John Barrett.
And I am Justin McGee.
That is who we are.
Now, who are you?
Tell us a little about yourself.
How was your day?
Call on in that number that they just told you, because I haven't memorized it yet.
That's 424-256-1633.
Right? Because that's on that board that I can now read. I just learned to read now, guys.
What we did tonight. We didn't even watch Archer, so this may or may not be about tonight's episode.
Yeah, they just taught me how to read.
So not only are we going to break down tonight's episode, The Limited, which I'm guessing doesn't have anything to do with the clothing store, probably has something to do with trains.
Oh, my notes are no
But
good.
We are going to have what we have called a smattering of news.
I think we agreed that that is the perfect term to describe the amount of news we have.
Because there was just so much news out there relating to the show, and mostly its stars more than anything. And their various projects that you're going to want to hear about it. You're going to want to know what John Benjamin is up to and Judy Greer. Something big's going on with her. What could that be? I guess you'll just have to stick around and find out.
Do it.
John looked like he was on the edge of saying something the entire time.
The whole room and I just looked at John.
Yeah. I just like having attention. And then, you know.
That's all good. So... this was a interesting episode.
Yeah, we deal with a lot of big issues here.
We deal with international extraditions. We deal with endangered species. And on the top of the list, we deal with racism.
Good old-fashioned racism.
And my God, did that play a really prominent role in tonight's episode.
Open on Grand Central Station. Mallory Archer is having a black porter carry every single one of her bags on his back.
Which is a disturbing enough image as it is. But then, again, I didn't even know this was like a thing. But apparently, his name is George.
Which apparently is some sort of racial slur.
I'm glad that we're living in like a... post
where none of this
where I have no idea what this means. I think that's a good thing, but you definitely got it. Was really, really uncomfortable watching this opening, is what I'm trying to say. But what I liked about it is that, racism was like super huge in this episode, keeps going back to it all the time. But it's not racist in the sense of like, you'll hear a comedian every once in a while who's like, oh, you're going to say it's racist if I say, insert racial stereotype, that's not racist. What's racist is like other racial stereotype. And like, that's what they go for laughs. This is this weird meta conversation about what it means to be racist and how, like, being racist can be racist on top of weird. It's a very sort of weird cerebral look at being racist.
That is a very good way to put it. I think the line that does it for me is, I treat all my servants like this, regardless of race.
So I'm not really racist so
at
much
worst,
as elitist.
At worst, I'm elitist. Though, in fairness, Mallory's super racist.
Yeah, there's really no hiding from that one. Archer, though, I don't think racist per se.
Doesn't mean to be.
Yeah, he's not. He doesn't.
He's just ill-informed.
Yeah.
And like,
he's too stupid. He might be too stupid to even be racist.
I would. Yeah, I would entertain
like,
that.
Like, I think I don't think he even understands that there's something about being black.
Ocelots are so on the front of his mind that there's no room for any sort of like racial category in Archer's mind.
It's basically it's ocelot, ocelot, ocelot,
and then other
chasing
things,
a train.
Other
yeah.
things,
chasing a guy on the roof
yeah.
of a train. That's where his brain's at, and I mean. All the power to her. I wish my yeah. brain was like that. It's mostly like that. But every once in a while, another thing jumps in there. Come on, I'd rather be thinking about ocelots. Or Does chasing it. A dude on a train.
Yeah. Good old fashioned train, by the way. Like, stray observation, but nice to see a classic return to, like, the 60s mystery. Not even 60s, like 40s era.
Yeah.
Mystery train, the 510 to Greenwich, or. Greenwich is a place, right?
Are you thinking of the 310 to Yuma?
No, that's a Western, you idiot.
A little too far back.
Yeah.
Or too far forward when you had the 2007 remake.
Oh, shut up. Shut your stupid
mouth.
You
win again.
Of course, we all know that the classic train scene is from Once Upon a Time in the West.
All right. Well, fair, I suppose. Speaking along the lines of racism, George was so the focus for a while that I was almost positive. I was almost positive he had something
to do with this.
Like, Canada separatist movement that was going on. Such a red herring the entire time, where he's like, how dare you stop my train? I'm like, why does he want to stop the train? And I thought I was being really clever, but I guess I was just jumping the gun,
nope.
as it were.
Yep. There it is. Jumping the gun.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of guns. So we got this guy, Bilko.
Mm-hmm.
Is that his name?
Bilko.
Famous Canadian spy. Also.
No, he's not a spy. He's
I'm
a
sorry,
terrorist.
Terrorist.
No.
I'm sorry. Oh, speaking of sorry. Sorry, guys. We forgot.
You're going to make me do this.
We
now.
Forgot our first segment. Our first segment, guys, is going to be called Make Greg Apologize Segment. Ladies and gentlemen, Greg Goodness.
So, for the literal dozens of you that listened to me last week and probably thought this in your mind, I, if you go back, can be quoted as saying that Adam Reed has never did a trip episode in C-Lab 2021. And I thought about it long and hard, and I was wrong. Because there's an episode where everyone gets addicted to Stimutax. Stimutax.
I think it's Stimutax, yeah.
And in the words of Captain Murphy, it's like a koala's crapping a rainbow in his brain.
So there you go, guys. Greg Goodness apologizes.
Yay.
All right. Back to good old-fashioned Canadian racism.
Which isn't racism, though. As Archer points out,
it's
jingoism.
Or whatever. Yeah, because one of the things that he has stereotyped Americans for is being racist.
Right.
Which is sort of a meta
We're getting into layers. Again, yeah. We've covered racism, elitism, and jingoism. So it's just really, it's an episode about hating people. Mm-hmm. irrationally hating people.
But I think it's safe to say that Bilko's racism is a meta racism. About racism.
John is bringing us into a bold new world where we have to worry about meta racism.
Definitely the thinking man's episode of Archer and of our podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, we're getting deep, man. We are down the rabbit hole, folks. We are tripping out on mushrooms, and some guy with a hat is telling us what's
up. There are koalas crapping rainbows in my brain.
There are koalas crapping rainbows in Justin's brain. Now, that's not a drug thing. We actually opened his skull and put a tiny little koala in there and just fed him rainbows.
Mm-hmm. Pretty gross. Metamucil.
It was actually really gross.
As pretty as going in.
Yeah.
Coming out, not as pretty. Yeah.
Oh, a rainbow coming out is just like this big blob of black. Because it's all colors. Or is it no colors? No, black's the absence of colors. It's this big white glob. There we go.
But if you mix paint all together, well, light all coming together appears
white.
As white. And then
a rainbow
it's a
is
paint.
Light.
Yeah. But if it's paint.
Okay, well, we didn't feed the koala paint. That would kill it.
Yeah.
What kind of cruelty is that?
That'd be a lot less fun for me.
Jeez.
Also, more stray observations on racism. We get a little taste that the Tunts were really into trains and the Klan.
My grandfather was really into trains. That and the Klan, says Cheryl Carroll.
Yeah. Those Tunts are just an interesting group of people. We're going to talk more about them later, so I don't want to spoil it all now. But I'm trying to think of, because it was so littered throughout this episode where I couldn't, I don't know, like, do you guys think it was too much at one point? Like, okay, you've covered, like, the really, like, weird taboo topic. Don't talk about it. Stop talking. You're making me nervous.
I didn't get that. It was weird to me that everyone, like, basically everyone in that company is racist in some weird way.
Yeah, there's not a single person that didn't say something pretty terrible.
Actually, that is a valid point. It's one of those things. It's an equal offender.
Yep.
So you, well, yeah, you totally can still be offended by it. But yeah, I suppose that's like, a valid point.
Like Ray has his what is it? Famous Montreal man whores?
Well, that's not racism.
Well,
that's just appreciation of a culture.
That's a good point. That's a good point. You're right. You're right.
Although I did laugh quite hard when that said, au revoir, the sweet man whores of Montreal. Is that a thing? Is that like a unionized group or something?
Yeah. Is Montreal known for their man whores?
I mean, I'm going to go ahead and assume so. Mm-hmm. It just seems like a really gay city.
This actually segues us pretty well to our next topic, which is the prevalence of Canada in this episode.
Canada,
our home and native land.
You know this?
I know the whole theme. I know their whole theme song. The whole theme song.
It's not an amusement park, John.
It's kind of like it's you're just a giant theme
park. No, because let me tell you,
there's nothing amusing about Canada.
No, listen, I'm ashamed to say this. I've been out of the country once in my life, and that one time was a day trip to Canada, and it was horrible. It was awful. We went in, and I was chased by a security guard because I was apparently skating in a place where you could rollerblade, but you couldn't skateboard because that's bad in Canada. And I tried to get a burger, and the waitress was very snooty and aloof, which, as a waitress, I don't feel you should be.
This is France.
It's literally like I ordered a burger and they threw it at me. They like the plate almost broke on the table. They were like, "Here's your burger, stupid American." And so
In French Canada?
What part isn't French Canada? It's all
not
French
Quebec
Canada.
Is not French Canada.
Well, whatever, John. Talk about Infinite Jest, because we know we're going to get there one way or the other.
So, this week's episode of Archer dealt with Nova Scotian separatists, and Infinite Jest deals with the much more real, because I'm pretty sure there isn't a big Nova Scotian separatism movement. There might be. I don't care.
But I don't think they've ever blown up a donut shop.
They want to keep their salmon to themselves.
Mm. Is that what it is? Is that what Nova Scotians are known
for? Yeah, because they're
salmon?
Yeah.
All right.
And being New Scotland, and like mostly being Scottish, and
so not
and having a really weird, like really weird slang, like they have the weirdest version of English in Nova Scotia.
We didn't see that in this episode.
Yeah, I know.
Clearly, Adam Reed did not do his research.
Right.
For those of you who don't know, perhaps I should preface this. Preface this. John has an unhealthy relationship with the tome that is Infinite Jest by David Foster Wallace. It's, like, unhealthy. It's a 1,000-page book. I read it once, and it took me, like, 6 months. How many times have you read it now?
I've read it twice.
Okay.
Oh, God.
So a 1,000-page book twice.
Yes.
Of your own volition.
Yep.
You're not natural.
No, I mean, I'm not. I'm not of this earth. Mm-hmm. I'm a superior being. but Infinite Jest deals with Quebecois separatism a little bit. And tennis.
A little bit? A lot?
Well, a lot, but it's like...
It's only 200 pages of
it. Yeah.
So proportionately, yes.
Proportionally, it's probably more about tennis.
And drugs.
And drugs. Lots of drugs. I highly recommend this book.
What we're trying to say is welcome to the Infinite Jest AfterBuzz TV show.
Honestly, as someone who was really into those sections of Infinite Jest, I wish we got more of like the
story logic
of
behind the
Nova Scotians of the new Scotland front. For those who don't know, Nova Scotia means New Scotland in Canadian.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's French. Like, I think it's French for New Scotland,
which is slightly ironic. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like. No.
You jingoist.
We're all gonna get into how much we don't like Canada in a minute.
Well, Archer really doesn't like Canada. Yeah. I mean, just not even Archer, but like it's pretty clear Adam Reed's position on Canada. Because one, he makes everyone from Canada a total wuss.
Yeah.
Even the terrorist, the supposedly like most dangerous man in Canada, blew up a donut shop.
And he's like completely averse to guns.
Yeah. Which, like, my God, I feel like with the cooking implements that they have in donut shops, enough donut shops must blow up just on their own.
I mean, it's just, it's the kitchen is just a bunch of boiling grease.
Yeah, and dough and
stuff.
Poorly trained employees.
So, and I mean, like, things to cut dough, which... are probably sharp and explodey, maybe.
I'd like to know in what world you live in which sharp translates into explodey.
I mean, I learned how to start a fire with a flint and a knife, so...
Boy Scout. Whatever.
Yeah. Wait, what are we talking about? Donuts. That's all I heard for the last 5 minutes.
That's fine, because donuts, man.
Yeah.
Donuts.
They're so good, but they stay in your stomach for 4 days.
Only?
That's awesome.
This is terrible.
That's a good point. Only. For how good they taste, they should stay in there forever.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
They should just, like, imprint as, like, a donut right on your gut.
I mean, they kind of do, because the fat sort
of... A smush-down donut. I want the actual hole. I want it to, like, form around my belly button so that there's this weird sinkhole. Like, this infinite darkness into my belly button. That's what I hope for. Anyways, Canada.
I love the accents, which are possibly actually legitimate Canadian accents, because a few of those, the Canadian roles in this episode, were played by the gentleman from Trailer Park Boys.
Still something I haven't gotten into.
Have you watched it at all?
No, I have really no idea what it is.
The show's pretty good.
It's funny. It's really funny.
Was this their kind of humor? Like, this at
their
home
humor
for them?
Was a lot more like.
It's a lot like British humor.
Yeah.
If I would have to describe it. Didn't seem like they got to bring out their personalities on this
Absolutely
episode.
Not. Because they're just like a bunch of meathead idiots who sort of run all the underbelly of Trailer Park in Nova Scotia. And it's so funny.
All right.
Worth checking out, folks.
So the Mounties, in fitting with the theme that the terrorist is a giant wuss, are also total wusses. They fire their guns, but I'd like to draw attention to the fact that their guns are, like, weird, old-timey...
They're like Lugers, right?
Yeah, narrow barreled.
Passed like, down from their great-great-grandfather.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of them shooting, and there are two men and an ocelot.
And an ocelot, yeah.
And a bullet hits none of them.
The ocelot remains unharmed, although, to be fair, ocelots spry and small.
That's true, but we'll get into this later.
And they're hiding, they being Lana and Archer, are hiding behind a bar. So, they're behind
the roof
cover.
They're shooting again.
Oh, that's true.
It was pretty open season.
So twice they...
Yeah,
man,
they had opportunities.
They're following the henchman rule right there.
Yeah, the old stormtrooper rule. Be really, really bad at shooting at things.
Even though it's your
job. And really, really, really good at getting shot.
Though, to be fair, they don't get shot either. And Archer does get shot.
That's true.
By a Canadian. He is skimmed on the arm.
But further evidence that Canadians are wusses and don't know how to deal with guns.
You're saying you should have gotten a kill shot.
Yeah, he should.
Or at least, a good wound, like, where they have to dig out the bullet.
That's like...
Yeah, it's a cut.
Yeah, man.
Sad.
It's nothing.
That's true.
It's nothing.
I do like the argument. I wasn't able to write down the entire conversation, but just the argument of why Canada would have a border. Yeah, but we're going into Canada. Why would there need to be a checkpoint?
It is true. Why would they
I felt the same way when I went to Canada.
We make it better. Like, we get there, and all of a sudden, like, Canada is just, like, one American crosses into Canada, 50% more awesome. Easily.
In Canada?
No,
Canada,
like,
becomes more awesome?
50% more awesome.
Here's the thing, and something that they didn't address, although they sort of did at the end. When Cyril is getting medical attention for his hurt spleen, no one's checking for an insurance card. Like to point that out. So next time you people go fighting Obamacare, clearly Archer is pro-socialized medicine. It's the only conclusion any reasonable person could reach.
Archer, taking very progressive stances against...
Not racism and meta-racism and socialized medicine.
Socialized medicine. Thumbs up, Archer.
Yeah.
You're really having the important discussions today.
Speaking of other important discussions, two things that we have to talk about, and two things that I feel should be mentioned in the same breath, because when they roll off your tongue, it just sounds so good. Our next topic is...
Tunts and ocelots.
The Tunts, of course, being the famous, wealthy billionaire family that spawned the crazy Cheryl Carroll. Probably a lot of inbreeding, as there is with those rich and... Well, that's royalty, but...
But probably rich people, too.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we can safely say right now... All rich people are inbred.
And and we have just lost our rich people. Great.
So I'm not surprised at all that they own their own train company. And it makes me so happy to see, like, you know that the Tunts are old money. They have the Tuntmore Hotel in New York City, I presume is New York City. And they have a railroad, like 50%,
yeah,
according to Cheryl Carroll.
But they also they have, like, enough of a hold on the railroad system that Cheryl Carroll can, like, just say, I want to break the world record for a trip to Ottawa, and they do it. And it's just like, all right, I guess we got to do it.
She also has 5 cars.
Yeah, she has
2 sleeping cars.
5 private cars.
And a skating rink.
Yep.
Uncle was really into, oh, it wasn't railroads. We misquoted her. Let's start a segment called John Was Wrong About Stuff. He was really into skating. And the Clan.
Oh, scam.
Yeah.
I suck.
Tremendously underused set piece, I thought. I was expecting more to take place in the roller.
I was hoping that would be the final bout between Archer and the terrorist.
That would have been pretty fun. A real start and stop kind of thing. Have any of you ever seen it's Jackass 2, I want to say. They have a roller party in the back of a
truck.
U-Haul, man. We could have seen a repeat. Maybe that's how it was originally written, and then someone was like, oh no, man!
Jackass did it!
We totally forgot! I don't know why everyone who works on that show just became teenager.
A 70s hippie.
Oh no, man! No way, bro! What are you doing, John?
Oh, what? Oh, my phone.
You're just raking this entire studio.
I heard my phone, guys.
It's like someone let an ocelot loose in here. No?
Yeah. So ocelots happened in this episode.
I'm so glad to see the ocelot again.
Yeah,
I know.
I'm so glad that Babu got the featured starring role that he deserves. I don't want to see... We talked last week about, like, the spinoff and what Archer's spinoff would be. It's, oh, it'll be his baby. It'll be the Archer baby.
It's going to be the ocelot.
We're going to have Babu... like in Lights, and it's like Babu moves to Hollywood where he's trying to become an actor. It's also the plot of Joey for those of you who are
unfamiliar with Joey for whatever reason.
Yeah. Well, you're not familiar with that.
Do yourselves a favor.
And become familiar with Joey.
Yeah. The show, not
at least that on DVD, I don't even
Yes, I think so.
Really?
Stuff.
I mean,
everything's on
how
DVD.
Else does Kevin Bright make $6 a minute? I'm sorry, $12 a minute.
We're getting into obscure.
Anyway, so there's this ocelot, and it's bigger and awesomer than a house cat. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, I hope, possibly against hope, that in the script, awesomer was spelt O C E M E R. Because I'm an idiot like that.
Well, ocelot, awesomer.
I think you just combined the two.
I'm surprised.
You made it its own breed.
That's probably what sold the script. Adamry was on the fence, and he was like, I don't know. And then there's like
there's
some
pun, and he's just like, yep, this script. with this pun that no one will know happened.
The awesomer ocelot. Except John,
who's
dyslexic and can't write anything.
And just learned to read tonight.
In all fairness, yes. He just learned to read.
Yeah,
you're
great.
Doing fine.
Baby steps.
I love when John Benjamin gets excited about things, because it's always so deadpan on the show. So to hear him say, he remembers me, with just the joy of a child on Christmas Day, it gives me a warm, fuzzy feeling that can't be matched by most substances known to man.
However, if you mix Ajax and bath salts and inject them in your pee hole.
any scent, or is there a specific? Do we have to do lavender?
It smells like ocelot.
Our systems detect that a host has wandered off the subject.
Hey, I object. I object because this is all relating back to ocelots somehow.
It is used as an ocelot tranquilizer.
And I thought you were going to say ocelot urine and bath salts.
I mean, ocelot urine and bath salts is usually too much for most beginners to handle.
Yeah, you have to work your way
up
to it.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend – listeners, I would not recommend combining bath salts –
Do not start with that.
– and ocelot urine and injecting it in your pee hole.
Can we get a disclaimer that the views
the views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.
So,
that's a great idea. I just want to say that John doesn't speak for all of us here.
Fine, do ocelot urine. I don't care. It's your body. Do what you want with it, listener.
This is your brain.
This is your brain on ocelot urine.
This is your family. And this is your ocelot.
You're just making it pee all day. Force feeding it water.
Mm-hmm. I also like the cutback to cutback. What am I saying? Just the, I guess the reference to the first time that we're introduced to the ocelot in Tunt Manor, which is this giant room, empty, spare an ocelot and a water dish, and we have the exact same setup in the ocelot's car.
It's on a train in a pissed, piss-reeking room.
How could you own a train company and have your own private, like, ocelot car? And when someone's like, hey, do you want anything in the ocelot's car? No, we really shouldn't.
It's just going to pee on it.
It seems like a detail that someone would have. They should put a tire swing in there or something.
And I hope they put that as the last car, because that would really suck, like, going to the food car. And then in between, having to jog through the ocelot room and, like, trying
and
to punch it. Yeah, and...
Oh, and just avoid getting attacked or slash pissed on.
I think that's actually American Airlines. They're going to be introducing
the ocelot car.
Yeah.
You pay less.
It is. I hope so.
It's between first and coach. It's the ocelot car.
So if those damn first class people want to use our bathroom.
Oh, yeah. To keep the first class people out of coach. Yeah, John. That's what the ocelot
car
is.
Look, I'll believe what I... All right, so American Airlines, you can make your checks payable to Greg Goodness. Just please put in the memo line, give some of this to John or we'll kill you. And maybe Justin too.
Yeah, please.
You know, we've had some offensive shows before, but I think, like, in terms of sheer liability, this is the worst we've ever had.
Yeah, I have a feeling.
This extends far beyond the Dave and Buster's plugs. This extends far beyond any of Phil's offhanded comments.
Phil would have fit right into this.
Oh,
one.
My God. Phil. Oh, I wish Phil could have been here for this. We would have had a
great
time. If
two groups of people hate each other. Sorry, folks.
We've lost
context.
It.
Yep. Go back to your archives and listen to everything we've ever said about anything.
Yeah. It's all been leading up to this. It's all been leading up to this. And... the best moment of the season so far, while we're on the topic of ocelots. First off, Archer saves the ocelot, who finally, after Archer, I was expecting it the entire time, after Archer so lovingly...
saves its life.
First stalks it, and then saves its life. This ocelot just scratches the hell out of it.
While hanging from a train.
While they're both hanging off a train going 80 miles an hour.
Well, they've stopped at this point.
It was going 80 miles an hour, though.
And that shows his true love, is he doesn't want him freezing to death. He wouldn't let go of him so that he could run off and freeze to death in the hellish landscape of
like,
upstate
frozen
New York.
Tundra of upstate New York.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, but to return to my point, best moment of the season so far is the last scene where Archer is in the cop car. with the ocelot. Well, I guess it was all worth it. Wow. No, I was being sarcastic. Wow. Yes for the whole thing, you fox-eared asshole! Which, I've already used it once tonight on John. I'm gonna keep using that for the rest of my life.
I believe so.
That is my new go-to insult.
Yeah, that's a good one. That was very Frisky Dingo, that exchange of a person who is speaking English talking to someone who is...
an animal. An animal. And yet, total comprehension between
them. Yeah, it was basically I can't even remember what's his... Killface and Simon, yeah. We can't ever go back to Arizona.
Call all the pet stores. Yeah.
And that was our last bowl. All right.
Again, for those of you who haven't yet caught up, Frisky Dingo, Adam Reed's previous show on Adult Swim, was great. Check it out. Very similar humor, especially in this season.
Yeah,
as we've covered multiple times before season 3. It's just been all about the Frisky Dingo-esque humor. Because America's ready now. It's finally ready.
Finally.
Finally.
Speaking of finally, I bet you guys are sick of hearing us talk, right?
So don't you want to hear some sexy man talk?
Let's hear that. Let's roll that beautiful commercial.
Commercial time.
After Buzz TV.
Hi, I was once like you, a lazy, angry loner whose only joy was watching TV and surfing the net. And like you, after I'd see one of my favorite TV shows, I'd be so excited and have so many questions that I'd actually have to talk to my douchebag coworkers about it at the water cooler. Then I discovered AfterBuzzTV.com. AfterBuzzTV produces after-show webcasts and podcasts for TV series of all kinds, like post-game wrap-up shows for all your favorite TV shows. AfterBuzzTV hosts are industry insiders who break down episodes of shows, take calls from fans, and interview cast and crew from each series, with over 60 different after-shows, from Boardwalk Empire, to American Idol, to Vampire Diaries, to Real Housewives, and more. Now, after a night of TV, I can ignore my stupid co-workers, who I hate, and go straight to my desk and watch or listen to all my favorite AfterBuzz TV aftershows and have all the TV fan interaction I need. Thank you, AfterBuzz TV.
AfterBuzz TV. What do you want to buzz about?
Thank you, sexy disembodied voice.
Man, that guy hates his co-workers, huh?
Yeah, really.
Who I hate...
News
and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
How could you hate that?
What? What? I didn't say I hate. Who said I hated something?
I hate. That's you. That's
okay. No, I'm full of hate. You're right.
So as we promised earlier, man oh man, is there a whole lot to talk about. We got some big news from Judy Greer. We got some big news for John Benjamin on his side project, or I guess it's not even really a side project, but John Benjamin has a van. We got interviews with John Benjamin. Man oh man, it was just all coming down the pipeline. Let's start with something that you brought up this morning.
I did bring up this morning. A John Benjamin, and I'm trying to pull it up right now. I believe his Twitter is at @HJohnBenjamin. He posted this morning to his Twitter account. I'm going to pull it up while Greg discusses another thing.
Like I said, John Benjamin has a van, is John Benjamin's show on Comedy Central, and has already gone through one season. We did a podcast about it, After Buzz Show here, and we loved it, and its future was sort of uncertain, but it's actually up for an award. John Benjamin's show, John Benjamin Has a Van, was recently nominated for a WGA, which is the Writers Guild of America, Outstanding Comedy Variety Series, including Talk Series. Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty high honor.
Yeah.
You know, it's coming from professional writers in film, TV, and new media. Those are the guys who are nominating it. So obviously, you know, we always thought it was pretty weird and surreal and quietly brilliant. And apparently the rest of the writing community agrees. So kudos to John Benjamin on
and company.
What is probably sadder news, as we have mentioned. We weren't exactly sure if John Benjamin is coming back, and now...
This is the tweet from this morning. H.J. Benjamin. That's his... At H.J. Benjamin. Please help get John Benjamin has a fan canceled by contacting... At Comedy Central and imploring them to cancel it today. Spread the word. Thanks.
Now, John Benjamin is a pretty sarcastic guy. I think this is probably his way, correct me if I'm wrong, of saying, hey, save our show. It's in trouble.
I am leaning that way, yeah.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Wait, you hope so? Curse you. Curse you. You're one of them.
No, I actually enjoy the show. I would like to see it go back for a second season, but yeah, and you had talked about earlier, John, about the about different websites saying that it was already canceled. Do you think
Greg said that?
When I was doing a search related to this, it's like all these unreputable, like just random fans are like, "Oh yeah, the canceled show, John Benjamin as a man," and it's like, dude, it wasn't canceled. Stop saying it is, because it hasn't been officially. Although this tweet does not bode well for John Benjamin. John Benjamin, in lighter news, giving an interview to the site Media Boulevard, in which, man oh man, is he just really mean to the interviewers, but hilariously so.
Yeah.
He talks about the show and what it's like reading for Archer, so it's all sort of familiar territory, but there are a couple of quotes here that I love. I like to be rude, and it gives me a good opportunity to do that, being one of them. He refers to Adam Reed in one section of the interview, stating, Adam Reed, God rest his soul. Adam Reed, for those of you who are uninformed, not dead.
Yeah, very much alive.
unless they got a scoop there.
And just shrugged it off. Adam Reed, the reanimated corpse, writing Archer episodes to this day. Regarding Burt Reynolds, obviously Burt Reynolds, a huge part of the series, the season premiere. And John Benjamin, regarding Burt Reynolds, wait, he was in it? you picked out some few choice lines as well, Justin, right?
Yeah, there was somebody asked if he would win against Jessica Walter in a cage match. He believes that he would. He could take her, even calling her frail. But then if there was money involved, he would let her win so he could have the money. I think that says a lot about him. He's a good guy. I would to let her win like that.
For the money.
He's also doing it out of the kindness of his heart. Also, I see past that.
Also, it's important to note that he says, at best, she is frail.
That is true. Also, I noticed that somebody asked him about his favorite lines from the show, and he picked he did like when he got to be very shrill, so he liked
Danger Zone!
And he also liked all of his answering machine various incarnations of outgoing messages. And it was, I agree, that's actually one of my favorite parts. A couple episodes ago was really funny.
Yeah, him. Ah, answering machine.
alternate answering machine.
Yeah.
Hello?
One more just sort of... bitter thing that he says. Two more. Regarding Archer's popularity, the masses are idiots, so they don't know any better.
It's true, though.
He's looking for fans.
We don't know any better.
I guess so.
Hoping to pick up some new ones.
And at one point, it makes it sound like the interviewer started off saying, like, well, your voice is very distinctive. As if to go on with a further question, and John Benjamin just cuts him off and says, yeah. "So is yours.
So is yours. So is everyone's."
Thank you.
They're like they're snowflakes,
unique snowflakes.
And then in what I think is a bit of unintentional hilarity on Media Boulevard's part, they put in a side note. At this point, it is hard to tell if John Benjamin is being sarcastic or not.
Was he talking? Because if so, yes.
So definitely check out that Media Boulevard interview. Very good stuff.
It's a good interview. He says some good, interesting things in it.
Mm-hmm. And one final piece of news, because it wouldn't be a smattering if we didn't have something else here. Judy Greer, who obviously does a voice on the show, she does the voice of Cheryl Carroll, that crazy tunt. their family's name is...
Another spinoff. Yeah. The crazy tunts.
I would watch it. She is apparently... She has been greenlit for a sitcom.
Ooh.
On ABC. It is titled American Judy. And I quote, it centers on a cosmopolitan woman, Greer, who gets married and becomes a fish out of water in the suburbs, having to juggle stepkids, mothers-in-law, and the co-wife of the husband, or the co-wife, very different series, the ex-wife of the husband, who also happens to be the town sheriff. So, good news for Judy Greer. I wish her all the best on her endeavors.
Oh, and also Arrested Development's coming back.
As a movie. Yeah,
as a series on Netflix.
For those of you who are uninformed, that was dropping a while back, but obviously...
we brought up Judy Greer, so we might as well.
Mm-hmm.
Also, that movie she was in is up for Best Picture.
Oh, yeah, that's true. The Descendants, right?
Right.
Am I right on that, right?
Yes.
Yep, that is correct.
I can't in good conscience recommend it. But some people really liked it, so maybe...
The Academy really liked it. They gave it a, you know, Best Picture nod. So, big news for all the cast and crew of Archer, it would seem. Everything's turning up Milhouse.
Everything is coming up Milhouse.
Oh, did we just go silent? I think that means it's time for...
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
No, they got rid of the spooky theremin. That's... Yeah. Now it feels more like home.
Yeah. TV predictions.
Just doesn't feel like home unless we're doing that.
I know. I'm like... Oof. I was worried for a minute. I predict... more Ocelot.
I hope. But, I can only hope for more Ocelot.
Yeah.
It does also look like Sarah will be...
A spy.
They're sticking with it. He's in the field, although he's back to being horribly inept.
Really bad.
Not so good at his job. But, you know, he is out in the field, and Gillette is still paralyzed. So there's that. And they've really made it clear that that's there to stay.
Yeah.
So unless we see some stem cell research or something, I'm predicting that Gillette stays in a wheelchair for a while. Other than that, man, we got space to look forward to. They're going into space eventually.
The final frontier for Archer.
Yep. And another spoiler, we came across an interview that was saying that Pam's character is going to get into a bit of a relationship later in the season.
That's
so
right.
We have that to look forward to as well.
Fun stuff. Fun stuff.
Well then, as it were, any plugs for you guys?
Again... I'm going to plug my Twitter feed, which is at jdugan_barrett. You can also find my blog on the Tumblrs at bopmarrykill.tumblr.com.
It is a good one. Justin?
I will, again, plug the Twitter. I don't post a lot of stuff, but still follow me. Justin P. McGee, at before all that.
And I'm continuing my reign of against anti... Not against anti, but just firmly anti-Twitter. I just don't care for it, so...
Great goodness.
Kill Twitter.
Firmly anti-Twitter. So, on that note...
Yes.
Au revoir, man whores of Montreal. Good night. On behalf of myself, John Barrett, his self, Greg
Goodness,
and yourself,
Justin McGee.
Thanks for listening. We bid you adieu. Horrible, horrible, horribly offensive episode.
Same next week, same bat time, same bat channel.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Sweet man, or some Montreal.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.